Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Oh, a little steamy, huh? Weather-wise, yeah. Classic July in Michigan. Gentlemen, we've launched our annual study on the relationship between what we call addiction and grace. And so we here at Neighbors of Hope, we have a one-year residential program for men who are wrestling with issues of addiction. And so how do we respond to that? How can we help not just overcome addiction, but actually discover and be empowered and fully engaged in a transformation of life. All right. So, to kind of bring our listening audience into this conversation, today's scripture that I've selected comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So if I could have someone read that for us, I'd certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
All right, thank you. All right, any immediate responses? Comments, questions, what jumps out at you?
I guess I'll say real quick what I said earlier in my word is this one. We would always get started and say, Jesus hasn't even done anything yet. He's already well pleased with him. He says he loves him, he's a beloved child. And it's for me, it's for all of us. It's not like we have a year clean off these drugs and I'll love you this bit. Maybe in 6 months after that you get a little bit more of this love. But love's not all in installment plans or increments. He already loves you in the first place. Now it's like, now let's get to work. Like I said, if you don't have that love, you don't believe that. None of the other stuff's going to work. That's one thing I found. That's the first thing.
Kind of like Randy said, you don't really know what love is until you learn to love yourself first. And then
I got a little saying, Jesus fought for me before I fought for him. He's crazy. He loved me before I even knew it was.
Yeah, I like the whole idea of the fact that he's hearing God's voice and he's aware of it and he's listening. That's why he does what he does. You're my Son, one I love. With you I am well pleased. He believes it and he acts accordingly. We don't, so we don't act accordingly.
I see it kind of liberates Jesus to do what he does, because now he doesn't have to please God. God's always kind of already freed him from a thing of dues to please him. He's already loved, so it frees him to do his work, trusting God as his Father.
Well, okay, yeah. All right, anything else?
I'm not sure if this word exactly like how you said, but God loves him from the very first day to the end. Oh, he always loves him, and now that Jesus hears God saying, he hears like, oh, you love me and you're pleased with me and everything, I'm doing what I need to do. Now I'm going to go do your work, you know, like preach and help the others follow you so they can hear that you love them, that you are pleased with them, so they can continue their ways and teach others that you are loved and pleased with them. Because yeah. He's always loved and pleased with them.
To show them that they're loved also.
Yes.
That's the whole.
Before we went on the air, I said I think this is the one statement you have got to get down deep inside of you. Mm-hmm. All right, because we can argue that's the purpose of Jesus as the blessed one. All right, the one that is pleased by God. The one who is loved by God. The one who has a relationship. We can call that Father-Son, So I think Jesus as the Blessed One has, as you said, heard it, has trusted it, right? And then has the ministry to go, you know what? As true as that is for me, it's also true for you.
Yeah. Sure is.
Right? God, you are God's son. God loves you. And believe it or not, God's pleased with you. The challenge is, do you hear the voice?
Are you listening?
Right? So we may have to engage here at Neighbors of Hope in some spiritual disciplines that help us hear the voice. So whether it be our prayer and meditation time, it may be some scripture reflection time, it may be our own time of silence. It may be in our works of compassion. But there are things that we engage in to help us learn to hear. Now, it's one thing to hear it. Do you trust it? This may be the part that really distinguishes Jesus from us, because I'm not sure many throughout history have actually trusted this voice as much as he did. I think the same spirit that descends upon him, we'll see in the next couple of verses, is the same spirit that drives him out in the wilderness. So, when that spirit shows up and says, "Hey, Chris, you know, you are my beloved son, whom I love and am well pleased. Now, get out in the desert." Now, the only way you'll survive in that desert is if you hear it and trust it. And if you hear it and trust it, then you're going to experience a transformed life that empowers you to move forward in all you do, being fully obedient to that one voice.
Gotcha.
You were going to say something?
I was, and I kind of slipped, but I had a second thought anyways.
Okay.
And it reminds me of when I was here. I've been here a while, you know, off and on working for the ministry and part of the ministry, and we studied Brendan Manning. I remember one time we had watched a video with Brendan Manning, and he was saying, when you get to heaven, they're gonna be one question.
Yeah.
Did you believe I loved you? And that's the question. And I would say that it's hard, because as we sin, we judge ourselves, and then right, that shame leads us back to the very sin we was shameful of, if say for lust or whatever it is. And it's hard to wrap your mind that God just loves you, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. And the acceptance of that love will liberate you from that sin.
I think you bring up a good point. Because sometimes when he says, "Whom I am well pleased." Well, you know, we talked the other day about our four A's: attention, affection, affirmation, and acceptance. Kind of the affirmation part, the attaboy. We like getting the attaboys, but those attaboys, are they not predicated on something that we've done? You know, "Pastor Steve, I mow the grass here in Neighbors of Hope." Well, thank you very much, Chris. You know, here's an attaboy. You've done something that pleased me. And so we tend to take that concept and apply it to this passage. And that's not what's taking place here. It is more what Brendan's saying. You're loved.
He's pleased already.
Yeah.
Can you hear it? Yeah. And so we don't want to... And it's easy for us to take that concept, apply it to this passage, because we'll come back and say, well, because Jesus obviously didn't do anything that displeased God. Right? Sinless, all these other type of connotations we apply to him. Mm-hmm. Right? Which makes him different. And if he's different and he's the beloved son and he's the one who is loved and he's the one who pleases God, I can't. Well, no wonder you can't hear a voice. No wonder you're not going to trust it if you are, just as you said, listening to my own inner voice going, I'm not lovable. Part of what this is telling us, and particularly as it applies to our addiction, gentlemen, that's not for you to decide. You really don't get to decide whether or not you are lovable. God has already decided. But much like Jesus, what you do have the opportunity is one, you have to hear it. Two, you have to trust it. Right? Three, we would say, then you have to live it. And yes, as we said earlier, part of that living is much of what we saw in Jesus. So if you look at his supernatural acts, his miracles, his conversations, is he not really, in a sense, telling everybody else, hey, this God who loves me, right, is the same God who's your creator, who's your father, loves you too. That reality pleases God.
And this is the thing a lot of times we say, God loves me, but you know, he'll really love me once I start to do this, this, and this. And once I get this out of my life, once I stop drinking alcohol, once I get a good job, yeah, then he'll really love me. And then and it's a future hope or prospect. But the reality is he loves me today, right now. He loves me. He loved me before he even created him.
Well, yeah.
In my opinion, he loved me.
Yeah, we go back to the promise. Yeah, absolutely.
He loved me before I was my mother's womb. He loved me.
Which, this is what I mean. Sometimes, and it's not for us to... Well, how can God do that? That this is part of entering this mystery. You know, that doesn't make sense because, one, that's not the way I work. I don't necessarily love people who, right? Or we play the Freudian superego judge. You know, when I do this, then yeah, you know, I think I'm lovable now. I think God ought to love me now. Well, that sounds like we're playing the role of God. As opposed to going, because it doesn't make sense why God would love me as I am. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, who said it's supposed to make sense? God's God, and you're not God.
Yeah.
And that's part of that mystery. But that's what God does. And then through Jesus sharing that truth in everything that he did, right? We see Jesus live a new way. It's a new lifestyle of claiming this one truth. All right, any closing thoughts, comments, questions?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I hear people sometimes when they go to describe what love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger, and so they have this checklist that they're working on, and really when they don't see that in their lives, they, in a sense, don't feel the love. So when they're going through hardships and they're not practicing patience, and then people are mad at them or they're angry at whatever or however you want to look at it, they don't feel the love. Whereas I think it has nothing to do with going down a checklist. It's once you realize that you're loved and you're able to practice that, that stuff just comes naturally, and it's an inner thing. Just because somebody's mad at you doesn't mean they're not loving you. Just because someone isn't on your time and they're going too fast for you doesn't mean they don't love you.
I think I'll piggyback on what you're saying, John, when Paul talked about that checklist, like, Corinthians. He also says that even though I can prophesy that, you know, his words, you know, he's educated, he knows all these things, but without that love, him, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell people, it's like nails on a chalkboard. He says a lot of God, it's just meaningless. If you don't know that truth, you're beloved. It doesn't matter what, you know, schooling you have, how many degrees you have, how much money you have, how far you've came, and the world says you're successful. Your true success is much about God and that one thing, the love.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what you got.
You can't
do that. What you look like. He loves you. And he's pleased with you.
You were also talking about the desire aspect, the desire for the artificial feel-goods and drugs, wrestling with addiction. We're here learning the desire to love God. Rather wrestle with that, you know, because wrestling with addiction is fighting death instead of promoting life.
Amen. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate your insights and your sharing. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.